future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. First of all, let me give you a bit of a sneak preview for what's going to be in store this week. Today, we're going to be focusing what's been going down in the market with a bit of a sneak peek at our education series that's been dropping out on YouTube every single Monday in cooperation with the guys at Blockchain Rookies. If you haven't already, check it out. Go to www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. We just released the second installment of a four-part series today with regards to how much should I invest into cryptocurrencies. Troy does an amazing job at really presenting this well. He is a modern day wordsmith. So if you haven't already, check that out. We've also released a video that myself and Marco did. Marco is our content king here at SVK Crypto from the London Blockchain Week. It's really cool. It's a great piece of content, and it's really kind of talking about the overall space, why networking is so key, why everyone needs to do it, what people are missing out on, and our edge here at SVK Crypto, along with an awesome panel. So I'm going to say a big thank you to the guys at London Blockchain Week for inviting us down and making it the event that it was. So this week, Tuesday, we have a really, really exciting series that we've been doing. The second part of that with our in-house blockchain analyst, Oliver Mayer, solely focused on EOS.io. So that podcast is going to be titled When EOS Rules the World. It's an update on the overall ecosystem, what you need to know. Really excited and really jacked up to be delivering that like we always do. Wednesday, we're back to our normal show. Thursday is brought to you by my co-host, Jess Holgrave. And she's going to be focusing on all the women within the blockchain space, really interviewing, really understanding what's been happening, what's been going on, and hearing women's stories, which is something that hasn't really been done into the way that we're doing it. So we're really excited, and Jess has been doing a phenomenal job thus far. So the ratings on that show, by the way, are going through the roof. So if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast to stay tuned with all these great updates. And Friday, we're back to our normal show. So we have a lot going down, a lot going on. Really excited to be delivering all this fresh content to you guys as well. So with that in mind, let's get down to business and let me bring up to speed what's been going down. So to kick things off, Shapeshift unveils beta. So non-custodial crypto changing service Shapeshift is opening signups for a beta trial of its new combined user interface, which incorporates a number of services. CEO Eric Voorhees tweeted, "The new Shapeshift is at beta.shapeshift.com. We built it to give the world a true non-custodial crypto platform in an easy and beautiful package." For those who don't know, Eric Voorhees has been an early part of the Bitcoin movement and an advocate for that as well. If you haven't already, he's an amazing speaker and he's been doing a lot of great talks as well. So you got to check him out. Next up, we have Coinsquare Acquisition. So one of the leading digital asset exchanges in Canada, Coinsquare, recently announced that it acquired Starlex, a trading app and decentralized exchange. The move comes on the heels of Coinsquare's December 2018 acquisition of Block Eek, which will be rebranded to become an anchor wallet for the decentralized platform. Stellex will be a wholly owned subsidiary of Coinsquare based in Bermuda, and we'll look to apply with regulators there to become licensed to operate and scale its offering under Coinsquare's compliance guidelines. Grayscale Investment Report. So Grayscale's investment, a wholly owned subsidiary of Digital Currency Group, which also owns CoinDesk and also owns a large brokerage in New York that's solely focused on digital assets. Anyway, this report, which offers trusts for Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Ripple, amongst others, recent release in its 2018 Grayscale Digital Asset Investment Report, detailing activity across its line of productions for last year. The report shows that in spite of the ongoing crypto winter, Grayscale raised almost $360 million of investment into its products in 2018, marking its strongest fundraising year yet, with nearly triple the total capital that was raised in 2017. The team wrote, despite the deceleration of investment into digital assets into the fourth quarter, Grayscale managed to raise $30.1 million over the past 3 months. It is happening. It's time to wake up. A lot of people consider cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology an overhyped fad. I disagree. And there was a great article today in Bloomberg. It's time to consider crypto, says pension and endowment advisor. So, with that in mind, here's an extract from the great article that was published on Bloomberg today by our good friend Alistair Marsh. All right, institutional investors should consider dipping their toes into cryptocurrencies, according to Cambridge Associates, a consultant for pensions and endowments. Despite the challenges, we believe that it is worthwhile for investors to begin exploring this area today with an eye toward the long term, said analyst at Boston-based Cambridge in a research note published Monday. Though these investments entail a high degree of risk, some may very well upend the digital world. So most large institutions have steered clear of the 10-year-old $120 billion industry because it's largely unregulated and cryptocurrencies have been used to finance illicit trade. The collapse in crypto prices hasn't helped either. Bitcoin, the largest digital currency, has lost 75% of its value in 2018. For those prepared to take the plunge, Cambridge recommends a considerable amount of time learning about the space, including surveying the different ways of investing, from illiquid venture capital funds to buying tokens on an exchange. The firm advises institutions that manage more than $300 billion. Institutional investments, though rare, bring cheer to crypto enthusiasts who say a wave of institutional capital could bring greater credibility to the space. I mean, this is absolutely true, right? Like, institutional capital, there's a wall of it waiting to come into our space, waiting for it to come into our area. And it just needs the correct ways of getting in. And the more institutions that we have offering custody, right? Fidelity offering a custody solution, the more that we have that coming through, the more roads that are built into the crypto sphere, the more capital that can come in and the easier it is as well, right? And I think this is a huge story. This is big news. And this is something that we should all pay attention to. The writing, as Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, says, is on the walls. It's blatantly obvious. It's in front of us. This is here to stay. That's an awesome story. So I want to say a big thank you to Alistair Marsh for making that story happen. He's an awesome writer over at Bloomberg and does a phenomenal job there and is a massive part of the London community and comes to most of our events as well. So big shout out to Alistair. I know you're listening. So listen, with that in mind, here's a quick snippet of Troy from Blockchain Rookies, second installment of Blockchain Education. This installment is focused on how much should you spend on cryptocurrencies? How much should you risk? So with that in mind, let's jump into the audio.
Today, we're going to talk about ICOs, STOs, TGEs, and Vegas. One of the most popular questions I get asked at Blockchain Rookies is, exactly how much should I invest in cryptocurrency? And my standard answer, the 3-day Vegas rule. How much would you spend on airfare, hotels, and at the roulette tables on a trip to Vegas, gambling your life away? Now, there are some people that say, not me, I don't gamble. Other people say, 10,000 pounds? Count me in, I'm off for a weekend. At the end of the day, going to Vegas, you're gonna meet a whole lot of really crazy people. You're gonna have a whole lot of fun. You're probably gonna lose everything, but you might win big. And the same is true for the majority of ICOs, STOs, and TGEs. Oh yeah, acronyms, initial coin offerings, security token offerings, and token generation events. At the end of the day, when someone else asks you how much you invest in crypto, tell them the answer is easy. It's the 3-day Vegas rule. The second thing I want to talk about when it comes to Vegas is people say, I'm buying these tokens. What are these tokens? Look at it again from Vegas. What I tell them is you're buying a poker chip for a casino that hasn't been built by people that you don't know, who don't have a license to sell poker chips or to run a casino, and it's probably being built in a neighborhood that doesn't gamble, and you're hoping you can sell that poker chip for more than you paid for it before the casino opens. Another example is when you talk about an ICO and someone says, ah, but ours are not securities, ours are utility tokens. What's a utility token? An example of a utility token in real life happens in America in a laundromat. When you go to a laundromat, you put a dollar bill into a machine on the wall and it spits out little tokens. And those tokens can only be used in the laundromat where you put the money in the wall. They can only be used on the washers and the dryers in that specific laundromat. A utility token through an ICO is very much in the same way. You're investing and buying tokens on a project that you will be able to use those tokens to operate that project at some point in the future. So the question is, when you buy an ICO token, Has the laundromat been built or has it not been built? And who are the team behind the laundromat? Do they actually have a legitimate business model and can they actually build a laundromat? So here are three examples that I always tell people when I talk about ICOs, STOs, TGEs, and Vegas. One, how much should you invest? The three-day Vegas rule. Two, are you buying poker chips, hoping to sell them before the casino opens? Or three, are you buying tokens for a laundromat that may not even have been built? I'm Troy from Blockchain Rookies. This has been Blockchain Essentials. We've been talking about ICOs, STOs, TGEs, and Vegas.
Well, you heard it there from the man himself. I think Troy does an amazing job of summarizing such great and detailed points in such easy format for anyone to understand. So big shout out to him. And if you haven't already, check out the videos that we've been doing with those guys on our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. You know it makes sense. All right. What time is it? Do I still have time? Yeah, I got some time. Okay, cool. So there was a really great article published on Medium by a guy called Ben Sigmund. Ben used to be one of the core team members over at one of the large funds in LA by the name of DNA, who were one of the biggest funds in the space. So really quickly, he posted a really good brief bit of analysis in the EOS mainnet in the past 90 days. There have been some ups and downs, but activity has nearly doubled since October. So EOS metrics, daily users, DAU, and monthly active users, MAU, are very good. Metrics for measuring usage of a platform, app, and website. In EOS, the metric of daily unique account users it's an abbreviation of that is DUAA. So quick flashback, the EOS mainnet launched back in June 2018. A few months later, in October 2018, it was discovered that EOS DUAA had skyrocketed to 60,000, nearly double what it was just weeks earlier. That was then posted on Twitter by Ben, which quickly got picked up by several news sources. So way back in October, EOS gambling apps were first starting to pick up attention and users, and EOS Lynx was creating lots of new accounts in its mobile wallet, breaking its own records last week. So what's happening? So since early November, the highest DUAA was 111,035. The lowest the DUA has been is 40,000 on December 17th, 2018. Things have been up and down since October. There's been a slow but consistent uptrend in daily unique users and activity for that reason. For example, in the past 2 days, February 13th to the 14th, when this was wrote, the DUAA has been over 100,000. And by the way, this has only happened 4 other days in EOS history, December 25th, December 29th, 2018. So only 1/3 of the accounts active in 90 days are daily users. There have been 323,951 unique active accounts, UAA, in the last 90 days. 323,951 unique accounts in the past 90 days is a huge amount of accounts. That's way more than anyone anticipated out there. That blows the roof off any estimation that was there. Finally, more interestingly, 105,410 were active in the last 24 hours. That's approximately 50% of the accounts active in the past 30 days and 30% of the accounts that were active in the past 3 months. This is really, really big. So what sort of apps have a 50% DAU and MAU average? So according to Quora, of the 10 mobile apps with the very best DAU, MAU engagement, here are the rates for the best ones you know. Safari 69.1%, Facebook 68.7%, Snapchat 53.2%, and Time Hop 52.6%. This makes EOS look really good in terms of user retention. So what are all these users doing on EOS? Well, we've got EOS dApps, so gambling and other dApps that are there, such as Pixios, Karma, EOS Knights, and transactions as well, right? There's lots of different token trading going on. You've got the IQ token, which is Everpedia's token. So this is really, really positive for the overall EOS ecosystem. And I believe with the market currently where it is, when this market turns around and picks up, more and more attention will be put onto EOS. So I really believe at this current point in time, EOS is well positioned and well situated. But remember, this is not financial or trading advice. So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention. As always, if you haven't already, hit us up on Telegram, SVK Space Crowd. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And of course, if you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce. What an amazing insight to Crystal Rose. I think Jess asked all the right questions, which is key. I think Crystal has a wealth of knowledge of experience and has been in the industry for quite a long time. And I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Crystal quite a few times now. And each time I do, she impresses me even more. She's an awesome, awesome lady within the blockchain and crypto space. And you know what? She wears many different hats, as you just had her say. She does many different things within the space, which is absolutely amazing. And I know that when the EOS white paper was being written up, she read it through with none other than Dan Larimer himself. So she's had a really big role in the launching of the EOS.io protocol. So listen, I want to say a big thank you. If you haven't already, follow both the ladies on Twitter. You can hit up Crystal. Her Twitter is as follows. It is at Crystal Rose. You can also follow Sense, her project at Sense Token. And you can also follow all the Shios ladies at Shios_org. If you haven't already, got to follow Jess. Jess is the one to follow. It's at Jessie Blocks. And if you haven't already, join the SVK Crypto Telegram channel, which is SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. If you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. You know it makes sense. Thank you all for your time and attention. That's a wrap.